Everybody, let's get going here. And do you guys want to slide over? Because I know what's going to happen here is we're going to have a lot of stragglers come in, so we can just let them walk to the other side, you know, and have a walk of shame. Yeah. Thank you all for being here early. And like I said, I'm gonna get going right away. And I do know there are some people who are texting me they're sick and just some other different things going on. And I wanted to have this meeting. We're also going to record it because there's just a lot of great stuff going on with Uptown Kids and in Utica and Rome, and now even we've started a preschool over at the International Campus. And so, not a preschool during the day, a preschool on the weekend, preschool classes. So just a lot going on. So let's pray. I'm going to dive in, and I'll give you just a quick synopsis of what we're going to talk about, and then we'll get going. So, Father God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for just how good you are, how faithful you are, how kind you are, how powerful you are. God, we thank you that you have such good things in store for us, Lord, with Uptown, oh God. Lord, we thank you that you have our kids and our families that we minister to each and every week. You have them in the palm of your hand, Lord, and you're positioning them, Lord, just for great things this year. God, we thank you for that, God. In your name, amen. 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 So tonight, this is what I want to do is I want to just encourage you guys a little bit. I want to cast a little bit of vision, and then I want to go over some of the different measurements that we've created so that we know that we're doing a good job with Uptown. And we know we're doing a good job with the ministry that we're going to be doing with kids. And then just allow some time for questions, because I know earlier this week I did email you out the long-awaited policy manual and some job descriptions and whatnot, because there's a number of reasons why we're going to do that, started doing all this stuff, and I just want to talk to you guys about that tonight. So with that being said, I'm just going to dive in. And like I said, we're going to be done in an hour. And I want to make the most of your time and respect your guys' time at that. And to start, what I want to do is I emailed Josh a few images that I just want to put on the screen here real quick. And there's this app that is called Legacy. And what it is you go in, you enter your child's date of birth. And what they do is they tell you how many weeks, days, hours, minutes, and seconds that you have left with your children before they graduate. And so this is Stella, and Rachel and I have 813 weeks left with her until she graduates. We have 5,691 days. We have 136,590 hours, okay? And you just see how exponential those numbers get as they go down the line. And let me show you Parker's real quick. Josh, if you give me Parker's. Parker's is 761 weeks that Rachel and I have left with him, 5,326 days, 127,830 hours that we have with him. And the purpose of this app is to get you as a parent to stop and think about how much time you have left with your kids, and you to make the most amount of time you can with your kids. And I wanted to show you my kids' numbers because I believe this is that I myself and Rachel are ultimately responsible for our children. You know what I mean? God has given them us. We are, you know, to lead them, to guide them, and to direct them. But we are also people who believe in the local church, and so we believe that when we plug into the local church, there is a benefit that comes with the community of faith, where everybody kind of, you know, jumps in and becomes aunts and uncles, moms and dads, and they become part of helping to make sure that by the time Parker and Stella are to leave our home and go off and do the things that God asked them to do, they are going to be passionate about God. They're going to be excited about God. They are going to be serving faithfully in the house of the Lord, wherever that might be, you know, at college or internships or whatnot. And for us, you know, our plan for raising our kids involves the local church and it involves you. And so because it's been such a key part of both of our lives, we've grown up in the local church. We've been part of the local church. We see the benefits of the local church. My kids are here all the time, and this is even how we do it, you know, together. We're all here tonight, you know, and, you know, this is what we do, and we're all going to be in Albany on Sunday, doing this in Albany with the Albany volunteers. And, but, you know, with that being said, having 761 days, weeks left with Parker and 833 with Stella, there's a certain amount of intentionality that is going to be demanded and required. And this is where I want to start tonight. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I just want to read some verses here to give us focus and direction for what we're going to talk about. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, and it says this, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as signs on your hands, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, houses full of good things that you did not fill, cisterns that you did not dig, vineyards and olives that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him shall you serve. And by his name shall you swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth." And that's a lot of scripture, and I'm going to break it down here in just a minute. But the big thing that is being communicated here is that Moses is speaking to the people of Israel. They're about to go into the good things that God has promised them from the very beginning. They're going to step in, and God says this to everyone. He says, "Oh, Israel, you know, hear this. Is I want you to teach your children who I am. I want you to teach them what I've done, because you're going to go into a good land. You're going to go into a land where it says is great and good cities that you didn't build, houses full of good things that they did not fill, cisterns that they did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that they did not plant, and finally they would eat and be full." You're going into a place where everything, okay, is going to be provided to you by me. And you got to be careful that in that day that your children and you become comfortable and you begin to enjoy those good things and you begin to think, you know, hey, how did we get these things? And you begin to forget that it was the Lord who miraculously brought you out of Egypt. It was the Lord who delivered these nations who are inhabiting the promised land into your hand. It was the Lord who gave you all of these things that you yourself did not build or provide for yourself. And it's in that day that there's going to be a great temptation for you and your kids to forget who I am and what I've done. So in this passage of scripture, we see something very clear. It says in Deuteronomy 6, verses through 9, 6 verses 6 through 9, it says, "And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So there's a command to the community to teach and to in every way possible, whatever means possible, to begin to communicate how big, how awesome, how great it is that God is and all that he's done. It's a responsibility, you know, for you to make sure that when your kids are in a place where, you know, your church is doing great things and you have four campuses and you have awesome teachers and you have lots of events and all these different things, to help them realize that this just isn't something that's connected to human ingenuity and human strength and effort and ability, but everything that we're enjoying today was provided to us by the Lord, you know. And so there's a command to teach in the light of God's blessing, and there's a warning, okay? And so the warning is just very simple in verses 12 through 5. "Take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear." Now, Here's the thing. So with the command to teach and this warning to live in light of God's blessings, okay, it's upon the responsibility here, Moses is saying of you, to mediate encounters and experiences with the true and the living God so that your children who didn't walk through the split sea on dry ground, who didn't see the 10 plagues that went in against Egypt. It's up to you to make sure that your kids have such an experience with those very true, very real, very historical events that happened, that even though they weren't there, it's a part of them, and they appreciate all that God has done in and through the community of faith, and in providing all of the good things that we have. And, you know, taking that to modern day is that, you know, there's great benefits. I was just talking to someone about this, of having a well-established church that's been around for 30 years. You know what I mean? And for me, I've grown up in a healthy church, you know, and I've had people who, took time to make sure that the stories of the Bible that were very real when they happened, made sure that those Bibles became, those stories from the Bible became, you know, part of who I am, real living events that, where they mediated an encounter and an experience with God where those things became real to me. And there's people in this church who sacrificed just for years to bring us to the place where we are today, you know, who even though I might not have, you know, been old enough to remember all of those wonderful things that God did in the past, you know, they made sure that I didn't forget. You know, my mother is the queen of this. You know what I mean? And so it's like, she's like, you know, I just remember that, you know, when Apostle C was here and this was the word of the Lord, or I remember when, you know, this happened or that happened. And the thing is even though I might have been too young to not realize those awesome and wonderful things that happened, people like my mother, teachers like, you know, the deans, the Gardeskis, different people like that, you know, who were part of that, they made those things become part of who I am. And I'm thankful at 33 years old now that I have not forgotten who the Lord is and what he's done. And it's become a very real part of my life. And for each and every one of us, I want to make sure that in the good things that we're enjoying, you know what I mean, wherever we are. And I know each campus is a little bit different, and I know different struggles, different benefits, different things like that. You know, I can see so much good happening, you know, in places places like, for example, I love Sister Anita, you know, who makes Rome happen each and every week. And I love how she'll call me and she'll just be like, Josh, I'm calling you today because I wanted to remind you to make sure that I have my curriculum for next week. Or she'll be like, Josh, I'm calling you because I was going to ask you about this and what you thought, and we'll just begin to talk, and she's just always encouraging me or telling me what some of the teachers are doing out there to go above and beyond, or how during the week, you know, she's like, you know, I'm just going to take time and spend time with God so I can hear something specific from the lesson from the Lord for the kids, you know, it's people like that, you know, who begin to make God very, very real. And so, in the midst of all of the good things that are going around, and in the midst of, I believe, a really great church, though, there's a temptation for a younger generation. It's not a temptation, but it's a temptation for us to kind of, you know, either to get into the motions, or it's a temptation for us to even, to a degree, to stop, you know, making the Bible exciting and real, or to make the stories of our church and our history, you know, translate forward into the future, because, you know, we just get into it. Like, for example, what I'm trying to say is this is, like, for me, I'm a real, like, kind of management type kind of guy. So it's like, I'm just thinking through, I'm like, how's this going to work? And did we accomplish our goal this week? Did everything work? Did anybody die? Did, you know, did everyone make it with all their body parts? You know what I mean? It's just like that kind of stuff. Like, I'm just thinking through it. And sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just making sure that Uptown works, that I don't stop enough and just even take those moments to worship, you know what I mean? Or to stop and pray with a kid or a family, you know, just stop and maybe see something that would remind me of something that happened in the day that's just so a part of our church. And I'm saying all that to say this, is that I want to thank everybody for what you're doing, but also I want to just lay, just like Moses laid on the people, that importance of what we do, because we're not just childcare providers on a weekend, even with the babies, you know, and the walkers and crawlers, you know. We're not just babysitting so other people can have service or so there's no kids in the sanctuary or anything else like that. Each and every week, we have the wonderful responsibility given to us to be able to teach these kids about who God is and all that he's done, to rehearse the stories of the Bible and make them come to life in their lives, to rehearse the story of our church and make it come alive in our kids' lives, to just share even what God's doing in our hearts and in our lives with the kids so that they have someone else who they say, wow, God is real. Look what they're doing in this person. And you absolutely make a difference. Now, I know some parents, you know, you've got the spectrum. You've got some parents who are dropping their kids off on a Saturday night or Sunday morning, and, you know, they are just thinking, that's my spiritual duty, you know, for raising my kids. And sometimes we might be the only spiritual voice in a kid's life. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but those people are on the spectrum, you know what I mean? And so, you know, with those kids, we got to make sure, you know what I mean, that, you know, they experience, you know, who God is and all that he's done. And so then you've got parents who are up on it and they're praying with their kids every night, reading the Jesus Storybook Bible, have a thought that make my heart sing devotional, playing worship music all day. I don't know how you do that, but there are parents who do that and make the children's pastor feel guilty. And, who are on that spectrum, you know, and then you've got everybody else in between. For each and every one of us, I want you to see the responsibility that's laid on us as a community, because it really affects what we do on a week in and week out basis. When we understand that to make sure kids grow up in the knowledge of who God is and all that he's done, we got to make sure each and every week we're bringing our A game. We're bringing the very best of who we are. We're bringing ourselves who have ourselves growing and maturing and flourishing into the Lord and as carriers and bearers of the presence of God in our classroom. You know, we've got to make sure that each and every week we're just being so intentional. And this is kind of the way that I want to kind of just get to the point where we'll be able to land the plane here a little bit and get to just some of the practical things I'd like to talk about for the end of the year and into next year is that I recently was at a conference in April, and it was like the most intense conference in the world. Like, I got there at 9:30 in the morning, and I literally, I didn't move until like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the next morning I was there, and I think I left once for lunch, and it was like 9 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night. You know, it's just teaching after teaching after teaching. But one of the preachers said this that just was so impactful, and he was quoting J.I. Packer. We read his book as a church earlier this year. But he says this in regards to preaching. The purpose of preaching is to mediate encounters with God. The purpose of preaching is to mediate encounters with God. Now, this is where this began to hit me a while back is when we look at how we serve God and his local church, the purpose of what we do each and every week is to mediate encounters with God. So instead of preaching, what I want you to think about is put your spot where you serve, whether it's security or check-in or, you know, small group leader, preschool teacher, you know, whatever it is, I want you to put your spot in there, okay? And say, you know, the purpose of me teaching a small group is to mediate encounters with God. The purpose of me doing check-in and security is to mediate encounters with God. The purpose of me teaching the two-year-olds, my son's in your class, is to mediate encounters with God. And I really believe this, is that from a young, young age, we can accomplish this each and every week in Uptown, where you and I are the driving force, okay, on the weekend when kids get dropped off, of them experiencing the presence and the power of Jesus. And it's going to come in a variety of different ways. It might come as we're worshiping. It might come as you're doing a craft. It might come as you're doing the game. It might come as you're doing your object lesson or teaching a story or greeting a family. But the awesome thing about what each and every one of us does when we gather on a weekend in Uptown, wherever we are, is we are mediating encounters with God. And it's sometimes the most unusual and smallest things that people are going to remember. I mean, where a kid, you just give him a high five or a smile, or, you know, you make sure to say goodbye as they're on their way out the class, that something, clicks inside of that kid. It's through those Bible stories, okay, where you begin, just to share, how real and how powerful God is, that a kid, that sense of awe and wonder just begins to blossom in their life. You know, I heard a story from these parents who, were being very intentional with their kids and teaching them, God made everything, and, saying how, they made me, they made everything, and just going on through all these things. And so one day they were out, and the babysitter was watching the boy, and he's looking out the window, and the babysitter's like, what's going on? And the kid goes, "Well, I'm just thinking about how God made everything." And he was like five. You know what I mean? And it's like, such a big thought. But I say that to say this, is that no matter what age group you have, your responsibility on a weekend is to mediate an encounter with God. Because if our kids at a young age, and I really wholeheartedly believe this, discover who God is and have that sense of awe and wonder that marks their life, and they begin to see that the Bible is very real, and they begin to see that God wants a relationship with them and has plans for them, and they can come and gather with other people who believe the same types of things, who are going in the same direction with them, I really believe that when that kid gets towards the end of the life, the chance of them connecting with God and staying connected to his church is going to be exponential. And you've got to realize that no matter what you're doing, each and every week, when you are just mediating that experience and not just getting through the motions, believe me, I know that there are weeks where you're just getting through the motions, you know what I mean? And I know that there's weeks where you've got kids who it's just like, why are you here? I wouldn't say that out loud all the time, but you know what I mean? It's just like, oh my gosh, you're testing my patience today. Go back. to remember that, our driving force in everything that we do is to make sure that these kids experience God. So, how can we, you and I, begin to do that? To make sure that's a regular occurrence, because as we go forward in Uptown, the things that I desperately want to see is kids not only learning about their faith, but being active in their faith. And in the next few weeks, probably the next few months, because I'm still trying to figure some things out, but, I'm creating some spots where kids can begin to plug in a little bit more to the weekend, besides just attending. We're going to find, I'm going to encourage you, especially you guys who have small group leaders in the elementary age, because, preschool, my son will pray, but it has to be on his terms. So I know definitely with the one-way and the junction students, the one thing that I really want to see is that, instead of us always praying, let's let them pray. You know what I mean? Instead of where, it's appropriate and we can and they can do it, instead of us just, when we're rehearsing the Bible story, reading it ourselves, letting them begin to read it, just finding ways, we're praying for the offering, whatever it might be, where they can be active in their faith and through their giving. And even something as simple as last year when we put presents in the candy store that the kids could use their points to buy gifts for their parents. You know what I mean? And it's just like a way for them to live generously. And, you know, kids don't have money. And most kids don't have money. But they got points to the Uptown Candy Store. So I can provide a way where they can be generous with their points. You know, but here's the thing where, you know, to make sure that we're constantly in that place where we're meeting encounters with God, I think it begins with this, is that each and every one of us have to make sure that we're encountering the presence and the power of Jesus, and that we are constantly in a place where we're growing in our personal relationship with God. You know, and I'll pick on Sister Anita again because I have the microphone. And but I love, and she said it to me more than once, is she'll be like, you know, Josh, I just, you know, I like to start early in the week and make sure that, you know, I just hear something specific from God through the lesson for the kids. And you know what? That's powerful. You know what I mean? That's awesome, because it's not just words on a paper then. It's not just, you know, it becomes real. You know what I mean? It becomes tangible. And you're not just sharing something that was given to you, but you're sharing a piece of who you are with those kids, and they are going to be transformed by this. So, you know, we got to make sure that each and every one of us is constantly in a place where we're growing and flourishing in our relationship with God, you know, experiencing His presence, because you've got to know His presence to be able to take and lead someone else to a place where they can experience His presence. And we want to make sure that God is, we're actively hearing God speak to us through His Word and through by His Spirit, and that we're constantly renewed so we can begin to pour out to others. I like, you know, this illustration is that, you know, from my music days when I was doing that, is that what happens in public is really a reflection of what happens in private. And, you know, because the thing is I would tell people and tell myself is that you can't lead people in a place of worship unless you've been there yourself. You know, you're going to get up there and just sing songs, you know. And so it's so important, even with our kids, that we are just filled with God's presence and His anointing, so that when God speaks to us, and you know, and there's times, for those of you who have been in the elementary wing with me, you know, at times where I'm sure you could tell that I just sensed something. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm like, okay, you know, we've kind of got our plan, but I'm just going to drive the truck a little bit this way. And, you know, it's just amazing to see kids put, you know, their hands up. You know, we were talking about Gideon. I think it was last week, if I remember correctly. Was anybody in there? Gideon, yeah. I think it was last week. I just really felt, you know, one of the services, I didn't even do it at all the services, but because Gideon was, you know, he's like, oh, who am I? You know, God, I'm the littlest, I'm the smallest, you know, you can't use me. And after our time of worship, I said, you know, I just want to pray for someone. You've been struggling with that. You know what I mean? You feel like, you know, God, how could you use me? Or somebody's been telling you, you know what I mean? You're not good. You're not this. You're not that, you know? And how many hands just went up? And kids wanted to receive prayer for that because they've been struggling with that. And so you just never know. You just never know how God speaking to you through the week is going to prepare you for your weekend and for your kids. And even down to the babies. I'm just telling you, you know, just minister to those babies. Like my little Stella, you know what I mean? She, you know, I joke with her, and I got to make sure, because I don't want to prophesy it over her life, but, you know, she is like the sweetest little kid in the world, but then, man, she will tell me what's up if she is not happy, and we joke, we call her Spicy Leg, you know, and, because it's like, she'll just be like, no. I'm like, Stella. So, but Stella needs your love. And the second thing is this, is that how are you using your gift and in your part of Uptown to mediate encounters? In using your gift in your part of Uptown, are you mediating encounters with God your main objective? So, you know, the way this would be your main objective is how you prepare. You know what I mean? Through the week, you know, and just praying and looking over the lesson, how you're going to play and interact with the kids. I know sometimes we're tired and, you know, we don't want to crawl through the jungle gym or, you know, play trains again, or those two-year-olds rip the train table apart after I've glued it and nailed it and stapled it and I just want to take it out of the room, you know. As you teach, as you worship, as you love, and as you connect with parents, you know, how are we doing? You know what I mean? And those are just some of the different ways that we can mediate experiences with God, with those people. And so, you know, as this part, we get done with, this is what I want to say, is the main objective for us each and every week is to mediate encounters with God with for our kids, so that in growing up in our church, which is a great church, it's a fantastic church, you don't have a generation of kids who grow up just in a cool environment or grow up, you know, living off their parents' experiences or the experiences of a previous generation, you know, because definitely I've been around long enough to see that happen on a number of levels, you know. And so for me and for my kids, I want to make sure that they grow up and they, at the end of their 833 weeks with Parker and 700 and whatever it is with Stella, that they are loving Jesus for themselves and they're not dependent on mom and dad for their relationship and not a terror in the church for you. With that being said, I wanted to create some measurements for each and every week because it's important, I think, for us to be able to measure whether or not we're accomplishing our goal. I think it's important for us to know how we're doing so that as we're going forward, we can properly adjust throughout the year or we can make adjustments, changes, I mean, complete radical changes if we need to going into the next and previous year. And so there's a couple of different ways that will help me help and help you to know that we're doing a good job. And these are some things that you have heard before, but I'm going to echo them and we'll keep repeating them as we go. But, you know, you can measure if you are doing what needs to be accomplished each and every week in mediating those experiences with God by just looking at our be attitudes, okay? Be safe, be courteous, be engaging, be consistent, okay? So if we are doing those things, and that applies to all of us, no matter where we sit, you know, across the board in doing things in Uptown, if we are accomplishing those goals, okay, we know this, is that, hey, we're starting to do our jobs. If, you know, we're constantly in a place where we're thinking safe, you know what I mean? Making sure that, you know, we're not just so glued to whatever we're doing. If there's a safety issue, you know, we're going to stop, we're going to take care of it and address it. You know, just a couple weeks ago, you know, a kid got out, you know what I mean? And Rebecca Brink from the Walkers and Crawlers was right on top of it, you know what I mean? And she was hunting down the mom, hunting down the kid, and you know what I mean? It wasn't her job to do that. It wasn't her job, you know what I mean? But Rebecca, gold star for the day, she is accomplishing what she is doing. And you know what, for that mom, it's showing that mom that, hey man, Rebecca cares deeply, not just for the kids she's responsible for, but for Uptown and making sure that kid's changed. And I'm telling you what, that ministers to a mom. Being courteous, be engaging, be consistent. The other thing that we did, and I'm not going to go through all these, to help you measure what you're doing so you have proper expectations, proper info, is we created job descriptions. I emailed those out, the links. I didn't print any of those down. If you want some physical copies of those, just let me know. I will give that to you. The other thing we did is we created this policy manual, and there aren't a lot of, you know, drastic changes in there, and there's some things that aren't going to be able to unfold immediately, you know, know that, but you know what I mean? To give some clarity, for example, as, you know, our missions and our value, what each environment is kind of about, what positions are, you know, for example, even for our youth that work in the rooms, you know what I mean? Knowing that, you know, they need to be actively involved in the youth ministry in a small group. But also, you know, for them, you know, this is clear to know that, okay, don't bring any of your friends down to Uptown. You know what I mean? You're supposed to serve that day and do that. It gives things, you know, like the expectations of arriving on time, being prepared, communicating, you know, developing, growing in your relationship. And then even some of the security features, which will be implemented with some different things as we go forward. But like, for example, one of the things we're going to move towards is those double doors at this campus, those double doors down there at that end, 20 minutes into service are going to get locked. And what we're going to do is put another person, you know, we'll have to develop another level of people who will be there. So parents can come as much as they want, but those steel doors are going to be locked in case there's an armed intruder, fire, different things like that, you know, where we can get through that. The nice thing about this building is that wall is a firewall. So if anything starts on that side of the thing, it's going to take a long time to get down here. So we'll be able to evacuate. But even where to evacuate now, how we're going to evacuate. I haven't had a chance to go to Albany, but in the walkers and crawlers class, for example, we're going to have crash cribs. So if there's only 2 to 3 teachers, they can put, 12 kids in these 2 cribs and, wheel them out, on the grass and get them out there. Room rosters. Part of the holdup with that is me. I hit the double doors with a lift and knocked off the angle of it just enough where when we go to shut them like that, sometimes it sticks and you can't get out. And so it's a little bit more complicated. We thought we had a fix, and apparently that's not the fix. So that's going to take a little bit of time to do that. So there's things like that in there that are not going to roll out, right away. But here's the thing is in my 2 years, and I apologize for this, of being the kids pastor, you have not had job descriptions, and you have not had a policy manual. That doesn't help you. Because you don't have boundaries, you don't have expectations, and you don't, and to a degree, know, am I doing a good job with what I'm doing and in the ministry? And so I want to make sure that you have that. And so that's why I have this. So I encourage you all, you have a copy of it. If you'd like a printed down copy, I did print some copies here for you to take if you'd like that. And the job descriptions, we have that. Another level of expectation here is this, as we sat down as a family ministry unit, and we decided that at each age group, what do we want the kids to walk away with knowing? What are 3 things that if we know a kid gets to the end of preschool knowing we did our job, if they know these 3 things, we know we did it. And so we did that for every age group. So for what happens here in Uptown, and I forgot to email this to you guys, but I'll email it out to you, is if at the end of preschool, when they are, turning 5 years old and make it into Route 5, if they know this, is that God made me, that God loves me, and Jesus wants to be my friend forever, which, if you teach in preschool, you've seen that throughout the curriculum. If they know those 3 things, okay, we've done our job, because we want to make sure that at this stage, kids are just filled with awe and wonder of who God is and that the Bible is becoming alive and real to them. And we want to do that. For those of you in elementary, a little bit more difficult because I change curriculum on you. And so this is going to come through some intentional editing. I'm still working on October and November because I love the Gospel Project and what we're doing because we're exploring the Bible as we've never explored before, either telling stories we haven't told in a long time or doing stories that we haven't heard a long time and showing kids that, the one message of the Bible is that God saves sinners, is from Genesis to Revelation. It's beautifully and masterfully just woven through the real historical, people and events that took place. But here's based, even with the curriculum, and this is, like I said, it's going to take some intentionality with this one, is that we need to make wise choices, that I can trust God no matter what, and I should treat others the way I want to be treated. And so our job for preschool into elementary school is if we get kids walking away knowing those 6 things, by the time they're done for us, they're going to be prepared for launch. And then launch has a responsibility to say, these are the 3 things that, we got to make sure get plugged into the kids. And then the encounter, the same thing. And we stopped at college. We didn't, as a family ministry, we decided that would be good enough. We could have gone to death, but, we figured that's a big goal. That's a big goal. So we're going to stop at college. But I'm going to email that out to you guys, and we're going to start to incorporate that into all of our language and in everything that we do because we want to make sure that, and for those of you with one-way injunction, I know you've seen how I've been trying to edit it because a lot of us love the Gospel Project because of what it's doing, but I've been trying to simplify it much, and I took it to another level of changing this next round, which I'll explain in emails. We want to do that. So when you get this page, you're going to see what we want each level of to know and understand. We're also putting in there how we can resource parents the right way. If you do want to see resources for parents, uptownkids.tv, click on the For Parents section. I've already started filling that with suggestions on Bibles, with marriage books, parenting books, articles that I found helpful, different things like that. But we want to start to resource parents because this is another thing that we believe, is that what happens at home is more important than happens at church. And so for us, our job is to come alongside parents and to be a secondary voice echoing what they're already saying, is to come alongside kids and say, hey, there's someone else who believes exactly the same way you believe. And it's not just me as a teacher, but these other kids in your group. It's important that we come alongside these kids and echo what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. And so, you know, I'm going to try to help resource parents because, I mean, at every age and stage, you have questions. You know what I mean? And so it's like for me, even with my littles, okay, you know, there are times where it's like, I just don't even know what to do. You know what I mean? It's like, should I correct you? Should I put you in the corner? Should I call your grandmother? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what to do right now. You know, and so we want to help navigate those things. And so that's why I rolled, it's kind of a soft rollout with what we did with baptism, because we were going to include kids in the big baptism we did here at the Utica campus. But you know the most encouraging thing about that is after I gave the parents the resources and said, do these two devotionals with your kids, then it's up to you if you want to get baptized. I have them baptized. Let me talk to you. And you know the most encouraging thing was is I had parents tell me my kid's not ready to be baptized. And I thought, that was a gold star because we just helped them lead their kid and show them, give them more tools now to say, this is how I'm going to help disciple you, because I realize you're maybe not understanding this part of the gospel. I realize that maybe I haven't been clear enough in explaining this and that. And it was a win for me when I had, like, I think three or four families tell me my kids aren't going to participate this weekend. So I was like, that's cool. That's great. I'm all right with that. And so we're going to start to roll that even further. And then even with the baby dedication thing, we're going for our second round. There was like 80 people at the first dedication. And this next one is cool because like there's people who haven't had a chance to dedicate their kids. And so there's like 4 and 5 year olds that are going to be. So that's cool, you know. And so it's going to be a cool thing coming up. And so just finding ways that we could do that. And then there's just one more thing we're going to do. And you're going to see where, again, we're going to discover some measurements here. You know what I mean? If we're resourcing parents, that's a measurement. If we're accomplishing these things, it's a measurement. I know I'm doing a good job. And then we're going to unroll something called Talk, Pray, Do. What it is basically, again, we're working together with parents. And if we can get one parent to do this, one family to do this, we know that we're starting to move towards our goal, but we're helping to resource them. And so basically, what we're going to start to move towards is a devotional once a month. We're still going to use Parent Q in the preschool. We're going to soft roll it out with the older kids because they're going to be my guinea pigs do that. But basically what we're going to say to parents is, hey, spend 15 minutes a day talking and listening to with your kids and do that. Eat dinner together like once a week and just do that. You know, so, you know, just spend some time, pray at least 2 times a week together as a family, and do is create a family night and where you're together as a family and you do something special. And so we're going to help resource parents to do this. But if we can start to filter people to do these types of things, if we can make sure our kids are learning these things, if we're making sure that we're mediating experiences with God and, you know, looking at our Beatitudes to make sure, you know, we're hitting our goals, we know that we're going to find some success. Because here's the thing. I've been doing kids ministry as a volunteer and now as a pastor for 16 years, 15 years. And you know what one of the great treasures of my life was? Is I think it was last summer, is Rebecca Van Guiney, now Guzak, said, Pastor Josh, would you perform the wedding ceremony for Joe and I when we get married? And I had her in Uptown. Now, a lot of people aren't around long enough to see that happening where she's serving the Lord. You know what I mean? Her and her husband are faithful to that Albany campus and just sacrifice to do it. But, you know, many of us, you know, may not be involved in children's ministry that long because sometimes it's hard to see immediate fruit. So what I'm saying through all these different things is I want to give you a chance at some immediate fruit here. You know what I mean? To encourage you to stay on for the long haul, you know, and to keep connected even when it gets discouraging with that. And then the last thing that we're going to do to kind of help mediate experiences with God and also to give you guys some measurements on how to do it is we're just going to start to across the campuses. And I don't know quite how we're always going to do it, but we're going to figure it out, just begin to have like a calendar throughout our year where maybe some weekends in Uptowns, preschool included, like coming up in October, we're just going to do a crazy hair day. And things like that, it creates a container in which kids can begin to fill with truth is when they have a really smoking fun time. You know what I mean? Like the whole Star Wars thing. It's like, I couldn't even believe it. You know what I mean? Or Pajama Day. Pajama Day is the one that upsets me the most. You know what I mean? But it's like kids love that stuff, and it makes Uptown fun, and it creates this container where, okay, church is fun, I'm going to go there, and all of a sudden it's giving us more and more opportunity and inroads to these kids' lives where, you know, I mean, I humble myself and I wear pajamas to church, or, you know, I dress up like Obi-Wan. I mean, I felt so dumb when I walked out of Uptown into the lobby. And I have people who've been going to the church for like, you know, like the summer, you know, maybe 6 months who know me from interacting with their kids and talking, just kind of look at me and they're like, it's like they did take the step back, but you could tell inside they were stepping back. They're like, why is he dressed like that? But here's the thing is that me dressing like that or having a pool noodle lightsaber fight with the kids after service, it creates a container in which I can begin to fill with God's truth, with love, with encouragement, with correction where needed. And it's good. So we're going to do things like, you know, Crazy Hair Day. And I put the calendar up on the Uptown blog. We're going to do things once a month. We're going to call it family nights, where we just encourage families to have dinner together. That's it. Believe me, I know that's hard. You know, it's just with my schedule, sometimes if Rachel and I sit down together to have dinner, it's like amazing. And because my kids want to eat at 5 o'clock and, you know, we're trying to feed them and make dinner at the same time and they're done. I get it, you know, so, but once a night, and we're going to give them the talk, pray, do and say, hey, here's a suggestion, you know, for this. And we will see you all this weekend.